Okay. I'd like to discuss a little bit tonight some of the concepts related to Shelo Shalom in Halacha and Hashkafa and Agadita. It's a topic that is relevant to Parshas Yisrael. The Midrashim, if you look in the Torah Shlema, where he collects all the Midrashim, he suggests that this is the best marker in the Torah, in Parshas Yisrael, for the idea of a positive mila of greeting Shalom, that the Torah tells us that when Moshe and Yisrael met up with each other, so they asked each other Shalom. And there are other psukim which are a little bit less explicit in Chumash. Yaakov asked Lavan, Hashalom lo, and Yosef asked the brothers when they showed up, Vayisholahem l'shalom, the Torah says. So there are a couple of places in the Torah where we are told that Shalom has been inquired, Shalom has been offered, and this week's parsha is perhaps one of the best such examples, and that's the way the Torah Shlema highlights as a behavior to be imitated. Okay, great. Excellent. Okay, so none of those mentions in Chumash are explicitly formulated as a mitzvah. It's not phrased as a tzivoy. But we do possibly have what we call a mitzvah say midivrei Kabbalah. That's a concept we have discussed many times, that when you have a mitzvah that's mentioned in Tanakh, but it's not Chumash, but it is, so I should say Nach, really, it's mentioned in Ksuvim or in Nevi'im. So we do have such a concept that is called a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, a mitzvah from tradition. And it's possible there is a position in Rishonim and Achronim, more actually Achronim, that divrei Kabbalah has a status like divrei Torah. So the Menorah Samar writes that there is such a commandment towards offering Shalom, and that is the very famous Pasuk in Tehillim, Bakesh Shalom V'Radfehu. I think we have discussed in the past that there are other opinions. The Sefer Charedim was of the opinion also that Pasuk Bakesh Shalom V'Radfehu is to be taken as a mitzvah same divrei Kabbalah, but he used it for a different concept, not for the concept of saying Shalom, but for the mitzvah of seeking Shalom, the mitzvah of seeking peace. So, as I said, there are two opinions as to the status of this pasuk, Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, two different opinions assuming it to be a mitzvah saseh midivrei Kabbalah, one assuming it to be the mitzvah of offering Shalom, and another that it's a mitzvah of seeking Shalom. But if we don't have a pasuk in Chumash, so we at least have that mitzvah saseh midivrei Kabbalah. The Rosh writes in Nedarim, the Rosh in Nedarim Adav Tamachayim at Beis. So there the Gemara says that, the Gemara talks about different ways that we try to undo a neder, different things that we say to somebody to indicate that maybe he made a mistake by taking a neder. Did you realize that you were going to be doing this wrong? Did you realize that if you took this neder, it was going to have this bad consequence and that bad consequence? Perhaps you didn't realize. So the Gemara gives an example. It says, did you realize that when you took this neder, that you'd be in violation of Leisis Nesachicha Bilvavecha? So what type of nether could it be that would put you in violation of loisisna? So it's a discussion. Some Rishonim understand it's a straightforward isser hana. You know, when you take an isser not to get hana from a person, that's an expression of sinna. While the Rosh over there says that you took a nether not to say shalom to him. So that's a little bit of, again, also a little bit of a biblical source, basically saying that withholding your shalom is a violation of leisis nesachicha l'bavecha. That seems to be the implication of the Rosh. Okay, so we have a few hints in Chumash. We have a mitzvah same divrei Kabbalah, perhaps, and we have a Rosh saying it's a violation of leisisna. But whatever it is, the Gemara does certainly seem to take it very seriously, if it's not explicit in Chumash. And again, that's our Gemara in Maseches Brachos Navav Mibbeis. There the Gemara says a kind of a two-tiered statement. That on the one hand, that anyone who knows that he has a friend who's Noeg to greet him first. Somebody knows that whenever he runs into this guy, that person's going to say shalom to him. So it seems to be a good idea. It seems to be recommended that you should beat him to the punch and you should be makdim lo shalom. You should try to catch him first. So on the one hand, that's phrased kind of like a good idea. The Rambam lists it as a midas tamani chachamim. Right, and the Gemara also says in that context that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was careful that nobody would beat him to the punch and saying shalom, even a nachri shebishuk. Right? Every person, he would make sure that he would be the first to say hello to him. And so that seems to at least be a very good idea. But more strictly phrased is the idea of returning shalom. And the Gemara says that if somebody offers you shalom and you don't return it, So that's not just a bad idea. That seems to be a very bad idea. That seems to be a type of gzeila. The Gemara understands that to be included in a pasuk which refers to robbing a poor person. So as Rashi explains, how do you rob a poor person? Doesn't have anything to rob. Right? He doesn't have any money. So what did you rob? So it must be that you robbed him of the only thing he has, which is his greeting. Even a poor person can say hello. And if you don't respond, it's as if you're stealing the greeting. It's as if you're... you could understand that in a couple ways. It's like he greeted you and he didn't pay for it. Or he put the greeting out there and you kind of destroyed it. Whatever it is, somehow you stole that greeting from him. And the Gemara calls it a type of gzeila. That seems to be an even more serious idea than not being makdim shalom. So we find the Gemara in Brachas going further than the psukim do in telling us these two levels. That on the one hand, it's very bad to not return shalom. And beyond that, it's a very, very good idea to be the first to offer shalom. The Marsha over there in Bracha says that maybe you should be careful who you offer shalom to, that if it's a type of person who you think may not return your shalom, or if a person you don't know b'chlal and you think he's just going to look at you like you're crazy, so then maybe you're being machshel him, because the Gemara says that it's worse to not return shalom than it is to not offer shalom. So if you're going to be machshel somebody and not returning shalom, maybe that's something you have to worry about very seriously. Latest Varim don't understand if that's necessarily such a chash. I think the Sefer Dvar Moshe on Pirkei Avos, so he writes that he assumes Marshall is only talking about a case where you really think the guy is not going to return. You have some real reason to think so. But Minas Tam, if he's a normal person, chances are he's going to return the shalom, so you don't have to be worried that maybe I shouldn't say shalom to somebody because he's not going to give it back to me. And as far as point out, there's a sefer called Amir Shalom Gilchasa that points out that this whole idea of kol yodeya b'chaveru, everyone who knows that his friend has the habit of returning shalom to him, of offering him shalom, so that doesn't necessarily have to be a judgment about an individual. It could be also just any setting. You go somewhere, you go to a party, and you know that everyone greets each other, so you should try to be first. You should try to get it out there first. Maharal points out in the Derech HaChaim in Pirkei Avos that there's a special need to do this to somebody who's a Rasha, because you may think the opposite, but this is a way of bringing him back. Yerushalmi sounds like the opposite. Yerushalmi sounds like there's an Indian not to do that, but the Mefarshim point out that Yerushalmi itself sounds like this, that that's speaking davka b'shas haveru, that a person in the middle of doing an haveru, and you go over and say, hey, how you doing, and slap him on the back, and act all pally-wally, so, is that a word? And you act all friendly, so that may give him the idea that you're supporting what he's doing. So to give somebody chizuk b'shas haveru, maybe that's one thing. Maybe that's not such a great idea. But that if a person happens not to be such a great guy, maybe you could take into account that you might be able to have a good hashpah on him by being friendly with him. And that seems to be one of the practices that was ascribed to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, who was known for his kiruv, who was known for his Avos Yisrael, so one of the ways that he would go around greeting everybody, and that had a positive effect on people, and we are, of course, told to be like the Talmidim of Aaron. So that seems to be a good idea. So let's say you don't make it first, so you're responding. So if you're responding, so it sounds like from the Gemara in Gittin, and Daf Samach Beis, that there's an Indian to try to say more than the first person said. There's an Indian to try to be a little bit Samach Beis. There's an Indian to try to be a little bit more out there. And if anyone took Yiddish in Yeshiva University, so you may have learned that does seem to be the practice, right? That in Yiddish, a custom developed like that. There's two ways of looking at that. On the one hand, the person says good morning to you, so you respond,
good morning.
So there's two ways to say how we're expanding. Either because you just say good jor, let's say you just respond good jor. So that's a more expansive word, right? You know, have a good year. So that's adding something. It's shorter, but it means more. Or if you say both phrases, if you say good morning, good yor, whatever you say, so again, that's adding more words. That's giving yourself some type of initiative. That if you didn't make it to be the one who's first, so you should at least try to take it up to another level and add something more. It's interesting because we know the practice. I'm sorry?
Do you have to tap it off once again?
They have to keep going back and forth forever. Right, so that actually relates to that relates to the next point that I'm about to say. So that's actually an interesting discussion about the minig that we have about Shalom Aleichem. That we know the custom is that if I say Shalom Aleichem to you, so the minig is you respond Aleichem Shalom. So there's at least three ways to explain why that hanhag is. The first one is a boring one. We'll get that one out of the way quickly. It could be it's dumb grammar. You know, I say, peace be to you. And you respond, no, on you, peace. Right? You respond, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. So it could be just a grammatical thing. It's not really that you just want to turn everything upside down. You know, they say that that's somewhere I think that the Maskilim used to be, when the Aruch HaShulchan came out, the Maskilim got upset because they thought eventually they would stop writing Svarim, they would run out of titles. And then they saw the Aruch HaShulchan, they saw they could just take the old Svarim and switch the words, and they're never going to run out of Svarim. So, Shalom Aleichem doesn't necessarily have to be the case that we're just flipping around words. That, on the one hand, it makes grammatical sense, you know, hello to you. No, to you, hello. You just switch the emphasis. Okay, maybe it doesn't make so much sense. But in Hebrew, it seems like it makes a little bit of sense. So that's one possibility. The other two theories, maybe you'll like better. So the other two theories are that, so we've just established that it's a very bad thing to not return a greeting. Right? So let's say it's going to happen like this. So I'm going to say to Akiva, I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem. And Akiva's going to say back to me, Shalom Aleichem. So what's going to happen is, in the middle of our conversation, someone's going to walk in, and they're going to hear Akiva say Shalom Aleichem, and they're going to hear me not say anything. So they're going to think that I'm refusing to respond to his greeting, and that's going to be a bad thing to give that impression. So better that I should have a special, he should have a special responding phrase. It shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem, it should say Aleichem Shalom. And therefore, people hear him say Aleichem Shalom, they'll know that he's responding, and that it's not that I'm not answering, it's just that I started the whole story. That's another theory. The third theory you might like even better. The third theory is based on an idea that we have in the first daf in Nedarim. The first daf in Nedarim tells us that there was an inyan of using Hashem's name in Nedarim, but the Gemara says it shouldn't be the first word, because we're concerned that maybe you'll just say Hashem's name, and then you'll die in the middle, and you won't finish saying the neder, and then you'll be Hashem of Shemayim Levatol. Now, we have a Masorah. Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud, we're going to discuss a little more at length, that the word Shalom is a Shem Hashem. So therefore, it's better to say Aleichem Shalom than to say Shalom Aleichem, because maybe you'll die in the middle and you're not going to finish the greeting. So better say Aleichem Shalom and end with the word Shalom. Aye, but what about the first guy? So the first guy is, as Rabbi Shechter once said, it's like this in Sfarim also, that we have an idea, Hamaktim Shalom L'Chavero, is the school of Farichas Yomim, that if you're first, so that gives you a bracha that you should have a long life. So we have confidence that you'll at least live for another 5 seconds, you'll be able to finish the word. You're a little bit better off than the guy responding. You have a little more points in your favor. All right, so that's in Sfarim, you should just know. But in any case, so... There is a din in general, so when we talk about responding, so responding has to be commensurate. So if a guy comes up to you and says, you know, gives you a very effusive greeting, so it's important your response should somehow correspond. It shouldn't be, right, like if you say ditto, then you're covered. Right?
Shalom Aleichem Shalom bigger than Shalom Aleichem? For the first one.
Right, according to the whole idea of expanding, I don't know, maybe.
For the first answer.
Why is it bigger? Because more emphasis?
It's you, like, you do it.
Okay, could be, but there is a capacity that the post can talk about to have a correspondent equivalent type of greeting. The one exception, by the way, as we'll discuss later on, you know, there are times when it's inappropriate to say shalom, which is avelos, whatever it is. So then, if somebody offers you shalom in a situation where they're not really supposed to, so you're not supposed to ignore them, you're not supposed to even vaz them, but you know, you respond in a way that like shows you're a little bit more subdued, you know, kind of like eases them into the not shalom idea. So therefore, in that case, you're not going to ignore them, but your greeting is not going to really match. But other than that, except for circumstances like that, so, and any other extreme circumstance, the guy's being inappropriate, whatever, but the normal circumstances, so when we say you have to return shalom, so the greeting should be in a way that somehow matches what was offered to you. So the Mishnah, again in Brachas, but this is a little bit later in Brachas, the Mishnah tells us towards the end of Brachas, Nachan Dalet Amun Aleph, that there was a takana, that we know there's a song, Baruch HaBa B'Shem Hashem, so there's a song that, and then there's a commission that says that there's a takana, that you should be shol b'shem, that when you offer somebody shalom, that you should use the Shem Hashem. It's a little bit of a question when that takana was in place. The Mishnah quotes the example of Boaz, so it's not clear from the Mishnah whether Boaz made the takana, or whether the takana was actually made later, made by the Hashmonaim, some Rishonim talk about. Could be that Mahari Asad writes in his Tshuva that it was one of the takanas of Ezra. It's not 100% clear when the takana was put into place. But there was a takana that you should use Shem Hashem in greeting people. And that's a little bit of discussion why it is. The Meiri says that the reason is that you should, when you offer people shalom, that they should know where shalom comes from. You shouldn't think that shalom is just some abstract, nice concept, but it's a concept that comes from the Ribbono Shalom. And that was especially important because at that time the Tzaddukim had done things that caused an erosion of Emunah. So when you greeted people in the street, it was important to emphasize the Emunah. That was the way the Meiri understood it. And therefore, it was worthwhile doing that, even though you're risking shame, shemayim, vatala. And that the Gemara says, Rashi quotes, that there was an idea of eis lasa shlashem ki for Torah secha, that it wasn't on the surface such a obvious idea to use shem Hashem in what's basically casual conversation. It seems like the opposite of the appropriate use, not the opposite too much, but it seems like unusual use for shem Hashem when we know there is an inyan not to use shem shemayim levatala. And yet, it was kedai, perhaps for this reason, because you had the need to be mechazik emunah. Or Rashi says a little bit differently, that there was a need to spread shalom, the need to spread peace, and to back that up with shem Hashem. So that's what Gemara says, eis la'asla shalom kifar torasecha, the need of the time made it worthwhile. It's not totally clear from the Gemara, Rashi and Makis, and Daf Chav Gimel and Beis, which I think is not really Rashi. I think that point Rashi had passed away already, so it was one of those Talmidim. But whoever it is who's writing in Rashi's handwriting in Chav Gimel Beis and Makis, so Rashi writes there that there's two ways to understand this takana. That it could be that normally you, before the takana you wouldn't do this because of the Shem Shemayim issue. So basically the takana meant that it was mutter. Or that it was a chiv. So it was the idea of being shol b'shalom chaver b'shem, using Shem Hashem in greetings, is that Chazal said it was really necessary to do that. Or is it pshat not to necessarily encourage people to do that, but that if they did it, it wasn't to be considered shem shemayim levatal. But the fact is, l'maisa, when we see people in the street, so it doesn't seem to be that this takana seems to be really in effect. We don't really see people doing that so much anymore, unless they're singing the song. Yeah.
What about shalom?
Oh, so that's one possibility. So we'll get to that in a second. It could be that shalom itself has that status. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, yeah. Seems like it. Well, that's a little bit of discussion, though. We'll get to that. There's what to say about that. But mice, it seems like it, yeah. So it could be that the takana was temporary. That's how some write. The Chidar writes like this. And others, I think the Rav talks about this in the articles quoted in Masorah. And it could be the takana was not meant to be Ludaris.
What would the takana be? To say...
Well, that's what he said. Two days in Rashi is whether takana was you had to or takana was you could. But yeah, that phrase.
What would you have to? What would you say? Shalom b'shem Hashem.
Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, something like that. Yeah, shalom b'shem Hashem, or baruch haba, you know, baruch haba b'shem Hashem, something like that. That has the shame of God in it. So the second possibility is like you were saying, that maybe since we know that shalom is a shem Hashem, so maybe our custom of using the word shalom in a greeting, maybe that is indeed a fulfillment of the takana. That is another approach to why we don't do it. So the Ber Moshe on Chumash, this Ajva Rebbe, so he suggests that the takana wasn't really to actually use shem Hashem, but it was b'shem Hashem, that basically you should know that shalom is b'shem Hashem, that when you offer greetings, it should be done with that in mind. But on the surface, the Gemara doesn't sound like that. The surface Gemara sounds like we meant it literally. The kind of was to really have that in mind, was to teach the people this, that this was a kind of... I know it's harder to really square with the Gemara that that's really what it meant. But in any case, so it could be that through this process... It's not 100% clear. It could be that because of this whole takana, that maybe that's why shalom became synonymous with Hashem. And whatever it is, however it turns out, so the Gemara says the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud tells us it's not permitted to say the word shalom in a unclean place because of the fact that at the end of the day, it has a connotation of Hashem. Chris Vengel talks a little bit in the Gaon HaShas to Shabbos how that works. Is it because greeting became a Kaddish act, or is it because the word itself means that? That's a little bit of a discussion, but in any case, at the end of the day, that's basically what seems to have happened. So, Tosus and Sot and Nefidim and Aleph says, therefore, Shalom is one of the names you're not allowed to erase. The Rush seems to disagree in his Chuvis and Chelek Gimel in Klal Tesvav, and the Rambam also seems to disagree. So the Ramah writes, based on this Machlokis, that maybe it's a good practice. Some people have this practice. to not write out the word Shalom. If you see sometimes Shin Lam Mitvav with a little smitcher, because maybe you have to be concerned that it's Hashem Hashem, and maybe it's not Kedai to write out the Shacharit, so people don't seem to be marked for this. People don't seem to, right. Those of you who have been taking notes for the past 20 minutes, maybe may or may not be marked on this. There is a little bit of a discussion in Poskim because of this idea that Stechemed brings up, that maybe you shouldn't say Shalom to somebody who's Begili Arush, because maybe he's going to respond to you, and then maybe it's inappropriate that he should say Shalom when his head isn't covered. Modern day Poskim, such as Bevadi Yosef and Sternbach, didn't think Lamaisa that was necessarily such shachshash, and that you're going to probably offend people by acting that way. It's probably not such a good idea. It's not such a good shachshash. And to respond to what Adir says, so there is also a discussion in Shuvas Yudiyala as to whether there's any chiluk between Jews and non-Jews on this point. It seems to be perhaps the machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Bavli coming out that. Sorry? I don't think so. I don't think it would necessarily fall in that category. It's a greeting, yeah. I mean, the Gemara says explicitly that there's an Indian of b'maktim shalom. You know, so it's the idea that this takana should be in place there isn't necessarily such a chiddush. Sorry?
It says don't say Shabbat shalom before
Don't say Shabbat shalom before Shmini. Before you dive in. Well, on Mincha, you mean? Oh, Shabbos morning before Davin Shacharis. Right, that's another issue which we'll get to in a second. We'll get to literally very soon. That I thought for a second maybe you mentioned not saying Shabbat Shalom on Friday afternoon. It's a little bit of a Shiloh. Right. It might be a Kabbalah Shabbos. Right, or you say have a good Shabbos. It's a question whether or not that's really really a problem. Okay. In any case, so
do you need to have positive kavanah to be mekabel Shabbos? You say have good Shabbos.
Probably.
You don't make kavanah.
You're also missing zechiras to see us mitzrayim. You're missing kedusha Shabbos. You're missing a lot of phrases that you probably need. Well, not having davening mincha, that's a good reason not to do it. It's not going to get in the way of your being mekabel Shabbos. Unless you want to say that it's a gilo in your kavanah, but in theory, it's possible to be mekabel Shabbos davening mincha. Just that gets you in trouble. Yeah. Right, so that's actually why I'm whatever. I mean, in theory, I guess it's possible, but the average person doesn't greet each other that way. Right, if you want to come up with an eight sit on the Kabbalah Shabbos when you're on your way home. In any case, so just to take us into the last phase, so there are a number of times, so until now we've been talking about the positives, the ways you are supposed to say Shalom, but as we know, there are a number of cases in Halacha where you're not supposed to say Shalom, or a number of ways you're not supposed to say Shalom. So the fact is, that would seem to be the negative phase of this discussion, but it's really also the positive phase, because all of the different instances in which Shalom is not recommended, they all show you something about what the positive value of Shalom is. And this is something that Rav Yosef Epstein talks about in the Sefer Mitzvah Sa'itza. If you're familiar with Rav Yosef Epstein's Svarim, he has a lot of Svarim on topics related to Adam Machaveru, such as the most famous probably Mitzvah HaShalom, but I think this is not in this Mitzvah HaItza. This is a sefer called Mitzvah HaBayis, Mitzvah HaBayis. And he also is coming up on Purim. He has a sefer on Purim and Yonim related to Adam Machaveru. Yeah, it's like Otzer HaYigar or something like that. So a lot of interesting Svarim. So he's one who emphasizes this idea that a lot of the Yisurim reflect different positive ideas. So, one such case. So, one thing that Shalom does. Let's work backwards. So, what type of thing? What do you do when you say Shalom to somebody? What positive things do you do? So, one thing you do is you machshiv the person, right? You show that you have time for them. You show that you're paying attention to them. You show he exists, right? Also, Milo. You're basically saying hello to somebody is a granting of chashivas. So, for that reason, one of the Yisurim that we find that you just mentioned is what the Gemara indicates, that it's not a good idea to say Shalom to somebody before davening. And as Rashi says, and Chum Rashi says in the Gemara, in Brachas, in Daf Yudalid, that that's a time when you should be involved in praising the Rabbanu Shalom, and instead you're involved in praising a human being, because by going to greet a person, so that is an act of honor, and the honor at that point should be focused towards the Rabbanu Shalom. That idea of going, that does seem to be the fact that it has to. Pashtus means that you go and you overtly go be makabel somebody upon them, or you go greet somebody at their house. the fact that you're going to see somebody in the street and be polite is probably not necessarily the issue that we're talking about, but that's what the Poskim write. It means that you actively went to go seek somebody out and to go pay somebody homage before Shacharis.
So it would be a telephone call.
Sorry?
So it would be a telephone call.
A telephone call for the purpose of offering them shalom? Or a telephone call? Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
Right, if you call Arthur Stroll, if you call Dom to... Right, it's a good question. Let's look into that. It's a good question. Hard to steer into Vichadal. It's a good question. I mean, you can still could say you could do it afterwards, but still, so why... Still, but it's for Gadol, so why don't you do it instead? Question. There's also the chashash that Paul's going to talk about, Rishonim talk about, and I believe Bewilli discusses this in the Mordechai, that there's also the need of, in general, we don't want to do anything before Shacharis or before davening, because we're worried that you may forget to daven. So for that reason also, some Rishonim suggest you have a different nusach when you greet people in the street. So it's clear that you have like a pre-Shacharis greeting, so you know that you're not, it's like a hecker to you not to forget to daven. And the Shuvah's Halichas Shabbat, he points out that you have to be careful that if you're going to be too machmir on this issue, so it's going to be a chumrah d'asu de'kula, because we know it's forbidden to snub people, you're not allowed, especially if they greet you. So if you're going to be too machmir on this and you're going to take it too far, then you're going to be in violation of that, so you have to know how to deal with this. But in any case, this is a reflection of the idea that one thing you do when you offer shalom is it is a type of kavod to the person. This comes up also. Sorry? The Hatshuvas Halichas Shabba. This is also relevant. Sorry?
If you say that it's the reason that you should do
everything
for davening, so what would happen if it's like so early in the morning before dance
or something? Right, so if it's before, if it's not Shai to be davening, so I don't think that's an issue at all. It's like, you know, it's not called before davening. Before davening only means the time when, and right now it's before Shacharis also. There's no halachic difference between now and 3 hours from now.
So you wouldn't have any problem meeting anybody if you davened.
Right. Or you know, alos, whatever, you have to know exactly where to find it, but certainly you have it's way too much before. You know, if it's a time when there's no isser to eat, then shouldn't be any isser to greet people either. Just to say a few more words on that topic of the interaction between davening and greeting people. So you might be familiar, the Mishnayos, the beginning of the second parak of Brachas, do talk about Hefsek and Kriyashma, that in general, so you're not supposed to talk in the middle of Kriyashma, but although it is more makel, as the Gemara goes on to say, it's more makel than Shemoneh Esrei is, but still, you're not supposed to stomp shmooze during Kriyashma. But there are, after the first pasuk, so there are certain exceptions. The Mishnah says that during, in between the paragraphs is a certain status, and in the middle of the paragraphs is another status. It's more chummer to interrupt in the middle of the paragraph than it is in between the paragraphs. But it's machlokis in the Mishnah what justifies interrupting when, and there are different standards that could provoke a response. One of them is b'pnei ha-kavod, right? Certain things you're allowed, certain points you're allowed to respond b'pnei ha-kavod, and at certain points that are even more chummer, you're not allowed to respond b'pnei ha-kavod, but you're allowed to respond Mipnei Hayira. Sorry. It's machlokes the Mishnah that at certain points you're allowed to Pishol B'Sholom Mipnei Hayira and respond Mipnei HaKavod. And at other points you're allowed to even Pishol Mipnei HaKavod and respond to anyone. Or, you know, it basically is a different standards for what. Kavod and Yira are two of the factors that would, under the right circumstances, depending who you hold like, allow you to interrupt in the middle of Kriyashma. It's machlokes we've shown what each one of those means. We talk about Yira, for example. So Rashi, there's a little bit of a difficult Rashi. Rashi says, sounds like Rashi saying you're afraid the guy's going to kill you. So as the Rush points out, that's very difficult because then it's a straight situation of Pikuach Nefesh. So I wouldn't need a special Mishnah to tell me that I'm allowed to interrupt in Kriyashma to save my life. I mean, of course I'm allowed to interrupt. I'm allowed to do a lot of other things in order to save my life. So the Rush says it must mean Halachic Yira. If it's a Rebbe or if it's a parent, something like that, that's what the Mishnah means, Mishnah Mehira, not that your phrase is going to kill you. Whereas the Bach points out, that's also a difficult pshat, because Yira, as referred to parents, is normally understood as a passive, things you don't do. So it's hard to say that greeting somebody is going to be an expression of Yira in that case. Plus, so, right, so maybe they don't really just think Kriyashma. So, or maybe they're, you know, they're specialist rebbeim. They're very good in kudshim. not holding in Kriya Shema. But in any case, sorry. Okay. In any case, I did not mean that. In any case, so the Bach says like that. Some of Rashi's right. You could also say, I mean, Rashi doesn't necessarily sound, but maybe Rashi means that not necessarily the guy is going to kill you, but a type of guy who could kill you. He's not going to kill you for not answering him now. It's not direct pikuach nefesh, but he's the kind of guy you want to be friends with. So you're going to, because you're afraid in general that he has the capability of killing you, so you want to respond to him now. Otherwise, it's a little difficult to know what exactly Rashi means. You have a similar issue when it comes to kavod. Kavod also, so Rashi understands, as just being stam and odom mechubad. And there the Rambam says, like the Rashi Bayir, that kavod means halachic kavod, again, for the Rebbe or for the parent. But as was pointed out over here, that maybe the Rebbe should know this. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that in general, people seem to know about this nowadays. So we don't seem to be observant of this halach anymore. I'm interrupting the little Kriya Shema. One quick question, if that's really Matthias. Mm-hmm. But or maybe Matthias has changed already since the time of Mishnah Berurah. But could be. Maybe in Radin that was the case. But in any case, that's how to do a little bit. Okay, also you have to know how to do it, right? The Gemara says it's not appropriate to be too familiar with the Rebbe. You have a kind of a... Yaakov Emden talks about this. You have a kind of a conflict because it's not appropriate to snub your Rebbe, and it's not appropriate to really say shalom to him either. You have a kind of a balance that you have to know how to match. So another thing you do when you screed somebody is you basically make friends with them. You enhance the bond between that person and yourself. So that sounds like a good thing. But sometimes it's inappropriate. And that's probably also what the Gemara is referring to when the Gemara says, Ein Sholim B'Shlom Isha Klal. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin, on Daf Ayin. So that doesn't mean that if a woman passes out in front of you, so you can't say, are you okay? It means, and it's the Otra Poskim quotes from the Shuvas Avni Mishpat, if you know that somebody's wife is sick, you're allowed to say, how's she doing? It means that, you know, you make an extra special inquiry into a married woman's well-being. So that's a way of developing a bond between you and that married woman, and that's not so appropriate, depending on how you do it. But, you know, the basic politeness, we assume something different. If you look through Huttner's letters, in the Pachid Yitzchak, like the Igor Pachid Yitzchak, you'll see that he's makbid on this. He always, like, asks, how's your wife doing, and how come you didn't ask me how my wife's doing? You see that as far as basic politeness, it seems to be that, you know, that's okay. But as far as going beyond that and really trying to develop a bond that comes out of greeting a married woman, so that's what the Gemara seems to be criticizing. There's also and also in general, you make somebody happier. You're basically doing them a favor, which again seems to be like a good thing. But you also have to be careful that if you do it in too unusual a manner, and that person has lent you money, so that could be taken as a form of ribbis, a type of ribbis dvarim. You know, we have tremendous chumras in ribbis sometimes. It's maybe something we've discussed in the past, we've discussed a different time. But one of them is that even if you greet somebody who you don't normally greet, if you always say hello to him, you're not going to stop saying hello to him, but if you go out of your way to be more friendly to a person you normally would, and that person has lent you money, so that runs the risk of ribbis. It's interesting, we find different lashinus in general. When we talk about shalom, this is the Indian Shayla Shalom, you know, you ask about how somebody's doing. There's also an issue of no saying Shalom, that you give somebody Shalom. So it does seem also that that's two functions that Shalom has, basically inquiring to somebody's welfare and also offering a bracha of peace. The Peliowitz writes that when you say Shalom to somebody, you should have kavana that you're saying it should be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will that you should be in a state of Shalom. It's basically a bracha with that connotation. This has a real expression, halacha l'maisa, in that the Gemara says that if a person has a dream, that he was put into cherem in the dream. So there's no one who's going to get him out of the cherem because it was all in his dream. So what he should do is, the Gemara in the Dharma, Daf Ches, he should sit at the crossroads, see where people are going to pass by, and he should offer shalom to 10 people. And as the Ran there explains, the Ran on the Daf, that by doing this, that will make them say shalom back, and therefore that will kind of cancel out the effects of this dream. So there's a real significance to this bracha of shalom that somebody could offer you. So this whole idea of peace also brings to mind another time when it's inappropriate to offer shalom, and that's when a person is explicitly eino shari b'shalom, as the Gemara says, he is in a state that is contradictory to peace, and that is either avelus in the personal sense, or avelus in the communal sense, which by which we mean Tisha B'Av. During the state of avelus, known as Tisha B'Av, it applies to everyone, or Rachman al-Islam, to an individual who is in avelus. So there is a prohibition to offer shalom. Again, that's the kind of situation often where somebody may not be aware of that, and where you have to know how to handle the response in a way that you don't snub them, but in a way you also convey that it's not so much a time for that. The discussion in Poskim is a little different opinions as to things like a handshake or things like a bracha for better times, things like that. It's a little discussion whether or not there's a heterium for that. Some posts can take a very stringent stance towards what can be said of the Shiva, for example. And the Shiva Slave of Ram in Simon Sadi Hay, so he develops a theory there that's more than just offering shalom, that there's an Indian of silence, Indian of Henig Dom, in a house of Avelis, that there should really be an atmosphere of silence and all kinds of conversation like this, for the most part, are discouraged, and that's why he would lean towards a broader definition of the prohibition in the context of the Velas. All right, so those are some of the basic inyanim. Just to quickly review what we spoke about, so you mentioned this week's parasha is one of the best examples in Chumash of somebody offering shalom. Find a few other examples in Chumash. More explicitly, we have Mitzvah Seimet Divrei Kabbalah, according to Menorah Samar of Bakesh Shalom V'Rafehu. Other Rishonim understood that as a mitzvah of Kabbalah to seek shalom, and we also find that the Rosh has in the Darim that a neder not to say shalom to somebody puts you in violation of loisisna, and the Gemara says that there's a big idea to offer shalom first, and there's a gezela involved in that responding to shalom, and so therefore these are two big inyanim. We discussed the Maral, and you have to offer it, you should offer especially to somebody who's a Rosh in order to try to turn them around, things like that. We talked about having a more expansive response, the whole idea of the good yard meaning, Mari Bruna, by the way, talks about in his Shuvas. We talked about Shalom Aleichem, the three theories why you respond to Aleichem Shalom, either grammatical or so they shouldn't think that the second person was starting it and you weren't responding, or so they shouldn't have the chshas of saying Shalom and then dying. We talked about having a proportional response. We talked about the takana of using Shem Hashem in greetings, whether that was a temporary takana or whether we makayim that nowadays by using the word shalom, and the fact therefore shalom seems to be a Shem Hashem, and therefore there's machlokus whether you're allowed to erase it or not, and that the Ramah talks about not spelling it out. Shach says we're not so machmir, on writing out the word shalom, and talks about issues of saying shalom to somebody's begilia rush, things like that. Then we talked about the times when it's also to say shalom, and what that shows you about what shalom accomplishes. On the one hand, shalom is machshir somebody, that's why it's an issue to do before davening. We talked about that also, concerned about forgetting davening. We talked a little bit about the different interpretations of what the Mishnah is talking about as far as interrupting Kriya Shema to greet somebody, if they have Kabbat, if they have Yir, all those things. And then we talked a little bit about how you also develop a bond with somebody by saying shalom, and that's why in shalom b'shalom yishaklal. There's also the fact that there could also impact on ribbis, the ribbis dvarim, you're basically giving a person a gift by saying shalom. And then we talked about the idea of both nesina shalom and shalom b'shalom, and how shalom itself is a bracha, and that the asking of shalom is a contradiction to a person who is not shari b'shalom, a person who is an avelus, whether it is a avelus of Tisha B'Av or whether it's a shiva. And the shiva has perhaps the additional concept that there's supposed to be a silence by the shiva, and that's a very serious idea.
I just want to point out, in no way did I ever mean anything wrong about the person. He's saying, Matthias, that you want to feel a little bit of a cudgeon in a good way. That's